This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Crushing It, How Great Entrepreneurs Build Their Business and Influence, and How You Can Too, by Gary Vaynerchuk. Read by me, Gary Vaynerchuk, with Rich Roll and Amy Schmidauer. Author note, all email excerpts and interviews have been edited for length, content, and clarity. This is dedicated to all the people who are visionary enough to recognize the enormous opportunities we've been given in this new digital age and who are brave enough to demand and seek out happiness not only in their life, but also in their work. Introduction. My 8-year-old daughter Misha wants to be a YouTuber when she grows up. That probably comes as no surprise. Many young kids find out what their parents do and decide that's their ambition too, in addition to wanting to become a firefighter and a zookeeper. My daughter sees me using online platforms to talk to people and build businesses, and she knows how much I love it. Of course, she thinks she wants to do what I do. What might be more surprising is that if you ask other school-aged children what they want to be when they grow up, many will reply that they, too, want to be YouTubers. Personal branding may not be an elementary school career day staple yet, but kids today know that making videos on YouTube, posting on Instagram, tweeting 280 characters, and snapping on Snapchat is a valid career path, and that for some, it can even bring fame and fortune. They dream of creating a popular online presence the way kids used to dream of becoming Hollywood stars. Unfortunately, unless they're entrepreneurs themselves or deeply in the know, most parents will respond to this career aspiration with, huh? Or even worse, narrow-minded cynicism. That's not a real job. Even the few who smile uncomprehendingly and offer a mild, great honey, go for it, will likely secretly shake their heads at the sweet naivete of youth. It's so frustrating to me. Obviously, the first answers suck any way you look at them, but all of the responses reveal a total lack of understanding about what kind of world we live in. It's the kind where even an 11-year-old kid and his dad can become millionaires by creating a YouTube channel where they share online videos of themselves cutting things in half. I knew this was the way things were going to go. For someone like me, with a tendency to make over-the-top pronouncements, it's ironic that one of the most prescient things I ever uttered may have also been the biggest understatement of my life. My story is about to become a lot less unusual. I first made it when Misha was just a newborn, in the introduction of my first book, Crush It. I was recounting how I used the internet to develop a personal brand and grow my $4 million family business, Shoppers Discount Liquors, into a $60 million business. My strategy was simple and outrageous for the time. I spoke directly to potential customers through a bare-bone video blog and developed relationships with them on Twitter and Facebook, inviting a direct one-on-one engagement that had previously only existed between merchants and customers in the tight-knit small communities and neighborhoods of the last century. By the time I wrote the book in 2009, I had branched out from my first passion, wine and sales, to my all-encompassing one, building businesses. I was traveling the world, spreading the word to anyone who would listen that the platforms most companies and business leaders were still labeling as pointless time wasters, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, were actually the future of all business. It seems impossible now, but the digital revolution was so young, I actually had to define the platforms. Back then, I had to devote considerable time to explaining that Facebook was this online site where you could share articles and photos and your feelings and your thoughts. And Twitter was something like that, except always public and limited to, at the time, 140 characters. Personal branding? No one knew what the hell I was talking about. It's hard to believe it now, but not even a decade ago, the idea that more than a select few could realistically build a business by using social media was considered far-fetched. I now run a massive digital company with offices in New York, Los Angeles, Chattanooga, and London. I'm still engaging with people on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and any other platform that catches people's attention. I'm still invited to speak all over the world, but I can also reach millions of people through my business Q&A YouTube show, Ask Gary V, my daily vlog, Daily V, which plays on YouTube and Facebook, and Instagram and plenty of other platforms. And books like this that you're listening to while you travel around the world. I'm working more than ever. I'm having more impact than ever. And I'm happier than ever. And I'm anything but unusual. Today, there are millions of people just like me who have used the internet to build personal brands, thriving businesses, and a life on their own terms. Those who are truly crushing it have grasped the brass ring of a grown-up hood, building a lucrative business around something they love that enables them to do what they want every day. But while in 2009 that something might have been homemade honey or custom treehouses, today it also could include being a mom, being stylish, or having an unorthodox view of the world. In other words, you can use your personal brand, who you are, to market your business, or your personal brand can actually be the business. Socialites, celebrity progeny, and reality TV stars have been doing this for years. Now it's everyone else's turn to learn how to get paid to do something they were going to do for free anyway. A lot has changed since I wrote Crush It, but surprisingly, a lot hasn't. Anyone who follows me regularly knows she can fast forward through the first 10 minutes of my keynote speeches because I'm just going to repeat the facts of my life and my opinions in the world pretty much the same exact way I have been for almost a decade. Once those 10 minutes are up, though, you never know. And that's what I'm going to share in this book. The part of the keynote that changes every 6 to 9 months because that's how frequently the platforms evolve. I want you to learn the most up-to-date information on how to best leverage internet platforms and create powerful, long-lasting personal brands. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go off script here for the first time. I know everybody just cheered who's been listening to my book for a long time. What's amazing about doing the audiobook after the book comes out or after I've written it is things have already changed. So I will absolutely be jumping in and out of reading this book and updating any nuances or giving some thoughts to the platform changes. And while I'm off the script, I just want to thank all of you. I'm completely humbled by the fact that you decided to get the audiobook. I love you. Hit me up on Twitter. Tell me you're listening. And I should probably get back to reading this. The biggest difference between my first book and the one that you're listening to now is mine isn't the only voice in this. By the way, off the script real quick again. I mean, literally, the stories you're going to hear are going to be read by Amy and Rich, two people that are profiled in this book, two people that were massively impacted by Crush It, and I want to thank the two of them right now. I want to introduce you to other entrepreneurs who have met their unbelievable success by following Crush It principles to build their personal brands. Some are internationally well-known. Some are still climbing their way up. All of them are absolutely loving life. Though each is unique, I suspect you'll be relieved and thrilled to see they are not that different from you. How can I say that when I don't know you? Because the secret to their success, and mine, had nothing to do with where they come from, who they knew, where they went to school, or what field they were in. Rather, it had everything to do with their appreciation for the platforms at their disposal and their willingness to do whatever it took to make those social media tools work to their utmost potential. And that, my friends, is something I can teach you to do too. What worked for me won't work for you, however, and vice versa. That's why self-awareness is so vital. You have to be true to yourself at all times. What I can offer you is a set of universal principles. We'll dissect every current major platform so all of you, from plumbers, your pillars should be on Facebook, we'll get to that later, to park rangers, yours is YouTube, we'll get to that later too, will know exactly which platforms to use as your pillar content and how to use the other platforms to amplify your personal brand. We'll dissect the social media platforms that dominate the business world today. I talked about some of those in Crush It, but they have evolved, and there are now even bigger ways to navigate them. I'll offer theoretical and tactical advice on how to become the biggest thing on old standbys like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and young upstarts like Musical.ly, audio-centric platforms like Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes, and newcomer Alexa and Google Home. Those who have been at this for a while will find useful the little-known nuances, innovative tips, and clever tweaks that have been proven to enhance more common tried-and-true strategies. If you've been watching me closely for years and you think you know it all, please reconsider. I talk to thousands of people every year, and I hear the same questions over and over. If so many still haven't perfected their game, there's a good chance you haven't either. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go off the script right now because I've realized I've been saying this in the last week in keynotes. I think the reason I'm really out there with crushing it right now and even doing this audiobook and wrote the book is I realized how much I wasn't going all in. Even though I was at the tippy top of the sphere 24 months ago, I really tripled down on my podcast, my video work, my team expanded. And the amount of content that I'm putting now into the ecosystem is extraordinary. And I was just underestimating how much I hadn't grabbed yet. I was fully all in, but I was still leaving so much on the table. And so I'm pretty excited about this. There's not a single person who's listening to this right now that isn't putting out enough content. It's unbelievable to me how much is being left in the system. And so I'm excited, and that is the focus. Today could be the day that you finally get the little nugget of info that's going to help you pulverize whatever you've been holding back. Several of the people interviewed for this book said that they read Crush It multiple times. Entrepreneur and podcaster John Lee Dumas revisits it yearly. It's only 142 pages long, so not so dense that he couldn't figure out the gist in about an hour or so, and yet Dumas admits that he listened to the audiobook three times before he finally understood what I meant about personal branding. That eureka moment led him to found Entrepreneurs on Fire, his daily podcast interviewing the country's most inspiring and innovative entrepreneurs. Today, his show is one of the top-ranked business podcasts on iTunes, grossing, stick with me here, grossing around $200,000 per month. I know this because he posts his monthly financials on his site and shares the details about his expenditures in his podcast, and other entrepreneurs can learn from his smart moves and avoid his mistakes. That's just one example of the kind of surprise and delight the entrepreneurs in this book regularly conjure up to distinguish their personal brands from those of the competition and earn hordes of adoring, loyal fans. As always, I'm going to be real with you. Even if you absorb every lesson, follow every piece of advice in these pages, most of you reading or listening to this book will not become millionaires. Do not stop reading. Stick with me. None of the people interviewed for this book knew they'd become rich. They became rich because they were incredibly, ridiculously good at what they do and worked so goddamn hard no one else could keep up. Most started out with modest ambitions of earning enough to enjoy the good things in life, finding stability, supporting themselves and their families, and living on their own terms. Achieve that kind of wealth, and you won't need riches. And who knows, maybe in the process of getting there, you, like John Lee Dumas and his cohorts, will discover that you do have the talent and marketing savvy to become a millionaire. There's only one way to find out. Either way, you win. It takes pressure and fire to turn a lump of unremarkable metal into a finely crafted work of art. This book is filled with inspiration and advice from others who have walked through those flames. Let them guide you so you can see what you're capable of becoming. Consider the experience of Louis Blanca. His Instagram is Louis Blanca, just spelled out, B-L-A-K-A, who explained in this email how he went from art teacher to thriving artist by trusting his instincts and putting his passions to work. I'm a high school art teacher, but a fine artist at heart. 3 years ago, I decided to give my art career a shot outside of my 7-to-3 teaching job. My artwork took off, but not as well as I had hoped. I didn't give up, but I did become a bit discouraged. I listened to Crush It 2 years ago, and it helped me think bigger than just selling paintings. I saw a trend of wine and paint classes taking over the country. I asked myself why I wasn't hosting these classes if I had an actual teaching degree along with the experience of being a professional artist. Duh. So I took your advice of marketing through social and held a free wine and paint class for my alma mater, Montclair State. I posted a picture of the event on my Instagram, and I started to get inquiries for booking classes. I started with a class of 10 people, with maybe one class every 2 or 3 months. And I've grown to at least 3 classes a month, with my next class scheduled to host 100 people. I spent $0 on marketing, with everything going through Instagram and word of mouth. I've been able to market my paintings, as an artist, through my wine and paint class customers. I've taken all the unused materials or waste from my class and used them for my personal artwork. I've been able to grow my personal career as an artist from selling a painting for $200 to having a painting auctioned off for $1,300 at New York City's Coffee Festival this past September. I started my wine and paint business with a free event with about 10 people at a college campus, and now I'm hoping to reach $30,000 in sales next year. I know it isn't much, but for a full-time teacher and artist, it's huge. The explosion of YouTube and Instagram, the emergence of podcasts, and ubiquity of platforms like Facebook and Twitter all have led us to the tipping point I predicted 9 years ago. You already have the tools to build the kind of powerful personal brand that can change your future. If you've been at this for a while and haven't gotten to where you want to go, this book will explain why. If you're a D-lister with eyes on the A-list, I can help you climb that ladder. I empathize. I was on the Z-list for years and know what the view looks like from down there. If you've been making excuses, you'll be exposed, at which point you can decide to stop dicking around and achieve what you set out to achieve, or admit that your version of crushing it looks a little different than you'd originally thought. See, this book is for two audiences. The first is for people who know to the depths of their souls that they are born to build something great. Natural-born entrepreneurs should find all the information they need to improve their current efforts or start making plans of their own. The second audience is everyone else who wants to work. Not just the young, not just the tech-oriented, not just professionals in established careers or those looking to renew themselves because they've outgrown their industries, or worse, their industry is shrinking. It's in everyone's best interest to build a personal brand, even if they have little interest in becoming rich or famous. You're not computer savvy? Get the computer or tech skills you need to do this. It's not hard, and many of the people we talked to for this book had as little experience with computers as you do. In case you haven't noticed, no job is particularly stable anymore. Imagine the security you would feel if you had something going on the side that could blow up big if you unexpectedly had nothing but time. Meet Pat Flynn. We'll talk about him later. Desperation can be a great motivator, but it's a lot less stressful if you plan ahead so that you never know the feeling. If you're earning what you need to live the life that you want and loving every day of it, you're crushing it. That's all I want for you. I think of the friends I grew up with who love video games, but whose parents forced them to stop playing because the games were new and scary and distracted them from their studies. Those kids may have grown up to make a decent enough living, but by doing something they tolerate or even hate. If only those parents could have seen how the world would evolve, maybe the child who became a lawyer to please his parents could be earning the same amount now as an esports competitive gaming promoter or earning millions as a professional e-gamer. Either way, that lawyer would be infinitely happier. Parents are trying to get their children off Pokemon Go when augmented reality gaming is going to be huge for generations. They think their daughters should make less slime and do more algebra. Slime may be a fad. Slime could also become the conduit through which a girl learns the dynamic of supply and demand on Instagram and builds a million-dollar personal brand and company. The crazy thing is that she wouldn't be the first. Karina Garcia did it. She used to be a waitress. Now she's a successful YouTube star, famous for making, you guessed it, slime. How successful? With six-figure earnings every month. She was able to retire her parents. In 2017, she took a 7-week, 14-city tour to meet her fans. People paid $40 to $99 for VIP passes. Stories like that are no longer uncommon. They illustrate why we need to give our children as much freedom as possible to gravitate toward what they love doing. because in their world, nothing will be off limits when it comes to how you can make a good living and build a stellar career. When I was a kid making straight D's and F's, actually, I got caught reading baseball card catalogs in class so I'd know how much to charge for trades. And everyone would say, you're going to be a loser. Today, they'd say, you're going to be the next Zuckerberg. When it comes to professional opportunities, this is the best time to be alive in the history of humankind. I don't want anyone to waste it. If you take away anything valuable or helpful from this book, I hope you will give a copy to someone you care about who is not happy in his or her current job or career. If you're a parent, please give it to your children as they start to imagine what and who they want to be. I say this not because I want to sell more books. Get it at the library. I don't care. Heck, go to the dark web and download it and BitTorrent it. I don't care. I don't care. I say it because I want everyone to know that the opportunities exist, so that if someone is struggling or miserable or scared, they can do something to change that. If you care about the people in your life, you want them to be happy doing something they love. Life is short. Its brevity and unpredictability is the one thing that scares me. It's also long. A 50-year-old could still look forward to another 40 or even 50 productive years. We owe it to ourselves and our loved ones to be as fulfilled and thrilled as possible every day, so we are always ready to share our best selves with each other. There's so much in life that is uncontrollable, but our happiness doesn't have to be, nor do our careers. We can have all the control, every damn bit of it. The sooner we realize that, the better off everyone will be. I cannot do anything to make you more creative, but I hope that I can put you in the right frame of mind so that when you're ready to unleash that creativity, you will succeed. We are often told we have to make a choice, settle and do something tolerable and make money, or follow our passion with the expectation that we will be poor. There are still people out there who believe that it's a rare person who loves his or her job. That's bullshit. Our choices are infinite when we understand today's digital environment, as are our opportunities. We just have to find the courage to reach out and make them. You're going to hear the stories of people who were scared, just like you, who had obligations, just like you, who were told they were being foolish or reckless or irresponsible or immature. They did it anyway, and they reaped the rewards. If there's anything this book should teach you, it's that the only thing stopping you from achieving lasting career and life happiness is you. Part 1. Get pumped. 1. The path is all yours. An entrepreneur is someone who finds a way. Sean Doris McBride. The promise of my first business book, Crush It, was to teach entrepreneurs how to monetize their passion by using social media to build a strong personal brand to attract customers and advertisers to their websites, as well as transform them into such trusted experts or entertainment figures that brands and outlets would pay them to talk, consult, and attend events. In other words, it was all about building a personal brand around your business strong enough to make you an influencer. And yet, the word influencer doesn't appear once. The multi-billion dollar influencer marketing industry was still so new at the time, the concept hadn't crystallized when the book was published in 2009. Yet today, influencer marketing is poised to eat a real chunk of traditional marketing's lunch. Younger consumers spend increasingly less time on traditional media and more time consuming content online. And I'm going to go off script here. I can't believe I didn't edit this part because I get so frustrated when people think it's younger customers. Your 73-year-old dad is on Facebook a hell of a lot more than he used to be just a decade ago. Everybody is living in this world. This isn't a young kid's game. YouTube's daily viewership is closing in on TV's 1.25 billion hours per day as television viewership falls every year. One in every 5 minutes spent on mobile is spent on one of Facebook's apps and services. Every minute, 65,900 videos and photos are posted on Instagram. Over 3 billion snaps are created each day on Snapchat, where over 60% of the ads are watched with audio on. Consequently, since 2009, brands have tripled the amount of money spent on social media. And let me jump off here again. It should be 30 times, 100 times. People don't understand how much brands are overpaying for traditional media. Soon they will figure it out as well. And the land grab and the supply and demand of this incredible opportunity in this book will go away. With the explosion in the number of social networks available to anyone who wants to amass an audience, the vast sums of money being redirected toward those networks, influencer marketing has become a legitimate, monetizable strategy for anyone building an online profile, which means pretty much anyone in business. How legitimate? The top grossing YouTubers earned a combined $70 million in 2016. Many fit a certain type. Several are gamer dudes, for example. But Lily Sin is a rapper-comedian who features Punjabi culture in her videos. Rosanna Pacino is a baker, and Tyler Oakley is an LGBTQ activist. In the past, the top grossing list has also included dancing violinist Lindsay Sterling and makeup artist Michelle Phan. The most popular Instagrammers can even earn seven figures per year from their social media efforts alone. Even with only 1,000 followers, an entry-level Instagrammer can earn about $5,000 per year with just two posts a week. And 10,000 followers can net you as much as $20,000 per year. Again, that's with just two posts per week. Imagine the earnings if the Instagrammer posted more frequently. Let's think about that. The median salary for U.S. employees is about $51,000. You can earn that as an office manager, or you can earn the same amount running your own business built around something you love more than anything else in the world. Want to play it safe? You can work as an office manager, go home, and then earn an extra $10,000 a year on Twitch, letting people watch you play and comment on your favorite video game, because you really are that good at it. Or use YouTube to share insanely cool science experiments. Or post pictures on Instagram of your pet hedgehogs wearing tiny hats. Thanks to the proliferation of the platforms and the migration of TV and magazine viewers to the internet, there is room for many, many more experts and personalities to create a lucrative, sustainable ecosystem that promotes and grows their business or even their side hustles. It's a great time to be a fashion model, for example. There was a time when there was room for only a handful of superstars to see themselves featured in editorial fashion spreads or on the runways. Then there were maybe 1,000 in the middle getting steady commercial work in print and TV. The rest found themselves at the bottom, scraping by doing catalog and promotion work. But the internet has opened a floodgate of opportunity for anyone willing to hustle to grow a fan base through blogs and video channels to attract the attention of hundreds of thousands of brands eager to spend money supporting popular, good-looking, fashionable people by branded content and advertising. Not only that, people blessed with model good looks, or even just blessed with angles and filters and being savvy about it, don't actually have to model to get paid. The huge shift in attention to social media means that beautiful people are no longer beholden to the magazine and talent agencies or anyone really to make money off their good looks. They can look fabulous every day on their own platforms while engaging with steadily growing audiences, and brands will be begging for exposure. Just ask Brittany Xavier. We'll get to her later. We often define an influencer as someone who garners such a big audience on social media that brands offer to pay that person to attend events, take selfies with products, or talk about services. Brands have paid the famous people of the internet billions and billions of dollars to be their endorsers, sponsors, promoters, and product placers. Product placement is a natural fit with the YouTube and Instagram crowd, but it can leave the Motorcycle King bloggers or the Raspberry Jam Queen podcasters, those who might not feel photogenic or charismatic enough for constant selfies or videos, feeling as if their options of growing their influence and building revenue streams are limited to selling ad space. I'm here to tell you they are not. You just have to be smart and strategic about how you use your content. I've been paid to write books and speak on national and international stages, and I've earned enough money to make the kind of investments that could pay out for generations. However, I have not made one penny because an energy drink company paid me to say, this is my secret to working 18 hours a day. I'm an entrepreneur who built a $150 million media company in part because of my personal brand, which I developed by first creating valuable content that grew my influence. That's one way to crush it. By all means, though, go ahead and make money over time by running ads, for example, by selling ad space to a candy bar company as your star rises. You can get paid $10,000 for placing a candy bar on your table while you work. But for God's sakes, don't stop there. That's where you start. Don't leave money on the table because you don't realize how much bigger you can get. How big? The internet is the entrepreneur's oyster, and you can use its pearly platforms to build a personal brand so powerful that the world is not only willing to pay you for your products or services or to promote other people's products or services, but also it might even be willing to pay you to just be you. To me, that's when you become a true influencer. At its height, influencer marketing is really reality TV 2.0. I want you to think of yourself as tomorrow's newest star. You, the entrepreneur, you know what? Before I actually say that, and I want you to keep that edit in where I started reading and now I'm going off the hook. I'm worried that you're driving right now or you're on the treadmill and you're like, I'm not a star. I don't have that charisma. And so yes, that's a strong statement. And I do want you to think that way because I like expanding your mindset. And do you think I could have ever dreamed that being a businessman was going to be cool? I'm literally recording this right now during Super Bowl weekend, and I was in a club last night where the most famous people all came up to me asking me for a selfie because I'm living now in the vortex of when entrepreneurship is cool. Maybe being a lawyer and doctor was cool in the 80s. It's not now. Maybe being an entrepreneur is cool now, but I promise you, after a couple of economic downturns, it's not going to be. So tomorrow's star is less about you being like a star and kind of performing. It's more quadrupling down on what you actually love and realizing the world may come to you. Video game kids when I was growing up were nerds. Now they're the biggest stars to teenagers because esports exploded. There are going to be 40 things that are going to happen over the next 30 years around what you actually do, and it's going to become cool, and you don't even realize it, which is why this is all so important. You, the entrepreneur, are no different from the organic mac and cheese brand that branches out into cheddar cheese crackers and chicken noodle soup. The brand was never about organic mac and cheese. It was about organic comfort food. You're the expectant mom who starts a pregnancy podcast and then writes a book on raising kids suffering from anxiety. You're the home cook with a beautiful Instagram stream who starts a podcast on canning and gets invited to write a column about urban gardening in a national magazine. You're the boy who starts a wine blog that wasn't actually about wine, but about making a name for himself as a person who could show other businesses better ways to communicate and sell. The home cook's Instagram isn't about food, but about building her influence in the healthy lifestyle category. The mom's podcast on pregnancy is just the patty of a parenthood burger. Your personal brand can get you all the fixings you want. Its outsized importance in today's business world means stardom is no longer limited to the most beautiful or telegenic among us. The field is open to many, many more players. It also means that most entrepreneurs still have lots of room to ratchet up their game and become influencers. I'm watching you out there. It's shocking to me how many entrepreneurs trap themselves into boxes of their own making, even though they have so much more power than they did before. Let's say you're killing it on Twitter. What are you going to do the day you realize you're tired of Twitter? What are you going to do if Twitter disappears? What if you're the country's favorite beekeeper and you develop a deadly allergy to bees? It's a matter of survival to think beyond your current success and constantly look for ways to create new ones so that you're never limited to any one platform or even one topic. How do you do that? By creating a personal brand so powerful that it transcends platforms, products, and even your passion. Take cultural icon Julie Andrews, the rosy-cheeked star of multiple Broadway and Hollywood masterpieces like Camelot, The Sound of Music, and Mary Poppins. Her entire career, her entire identity, was built on the soaring soprano voice that made her a household name. She said, "I thought my voice was what I am." Then, about 20 years ago, she had surgery to remove precancerous cysts on her vocal cords. When she awoke, the cysts were gone, but so was her voice. But because she was Julie Andrews, that wasn't the end of her career. She has since written dozens of children's books, starred in the blockbuster movie series The Princess Diaries, and most recently, in conjunction with Jim Henson Company, produced and starred in a Netflix series that teaches arts appreciation to preschoolers. Oprah was not just a talk show host. Muhammad Ali was not just a boxer. The Rock is not just a wrestler. A strong personal brand is your ticket to complete personal and professional freedom. I want you to become the Julie Andrews or the Muhammad Ali of your industry. Of course, for this to work, you have to start with phenomenal talent. Unlike these celebrities, though, you won't need an agent to get you noticed by the right people and start making better money. In 2009, a comedian who amassed thousands of followers cracking jokes on Twitter started making real money only when she was signed by CAA and landed a real job writing jokes for David Letterman. Today, however, you don't need to write jokes for other people when the maker of M&Ms, the Mars Candy Company, could pay you $10,000 to tweet your own M&M joke. And you don't need to sell your material to a television network to land a lucrative deal. Let's remember that back in 2009, people used their phones as phones. We were still using flip cams to film our videos, and our phones hadn't metamorphosed into our televisions and movie screens. That's all changed. The internet became the ultimate middleman, allowing every industry to go direct to consumer, from music and publishing to taxis and hotels. Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook are the NBC, ABC, and CBS of our day. Your audience is waiting for you. What you need to do is figure out how you're going to become the next empire. And what I mean by that, everybody, is you're going to have to create the big show on these platforms. So I think of myself as I Love Lucy or, you know, what's a good show that I love? Three's Company, right? You're trying to figure out how to make the content for these networks. The good news is you can do that without anybody bothering you or creating or forcing their creative ideas on you. You can just start creating and be on these networks. In 2009, I was trying to get you to understand that you could make some money in the online world or use it to catapult yourself to the mainstream if that was your end goal. Today, the internet is the mainstream. You are in complete control of how the world sees you, how often, and the context. Social media phenom John the Fat Jewish Ostrovsky had been on the entertainment circuit for years, signing with a record label in college and hosting a celebrity interview show on E! But it wasn't until he amassed 500,000 followers on Instagram that he was able to parlay his comedy and performance art into a book deal, a wine label, and appearances on reality TV, which led to his gaining 10 million followers on Instagram. Superstar filmmaker Casey Neistat started making online films as far back as 2003, but it was his high-quality short films and creative daily vlog he posted on YouTube that cemented his personal brand in the minds and hearts of 8 million followers. With that audience, he was able to sell his company to CNN for $25 million, launch a new project there that aims to bridge the gigantic divide between his young, skewing audience and the mainstream news media, and become the face of Samsung's commercial that aired during the 2017 Oscars. Personal brands are for everyone. Strategically, developing a personal brand through social media works brilliantly for creatives, as proven by the high number of photographers, artists, and musicians who've offered to share their stories for this book when I put out the call for submissions. However, it can work for anyone in any industry who wants to put in the hustle. You no longer have to toil incognito behind someone else's name or logo until you build enough cred to strike out on your own. Of course you can, and many do, often to build up their knowledge, life experience, and savings accounts before taking the entrepreneurial leap. Several of the people interviewed for this book said that the experience and skills they gained in their former jobs, even the ones they hated, were essential to helping them become the entrepreneurs they are today. Take, for instance, Dan Markham, who co-hosts YouTube's What's Inside channel with his son Lincoln. Dan says, as a sales rep, oddly enough, learning how to convince doctors to use certain drugs taught me how to be a YouTuber. I would practice with other representatives. We'd practice and practice and practice and practice. I'd never been on camera before, but I feel like the camera is just like talking to one of those other drug reps in front of the doctor. And so, my job actually helped me. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I knew I wanted to own my own business. But I was working so hard going to college and going to my day job and learning all I could from being a sales rep, and then doing all the little things on the side, and failing and succeeding. And then finally, it just kind of came together. I'm 37, and I've been working on this since I was 19 years old, trying to develop myself. It took all of those years for it to happen. But now I feel like I'm finally at the place where I want it to be. It's crazy that this is where it is, but I love it. Isn't it cool to know there's no prescribed route? If you're a project manager who'd rather be a beekeeper, for example, tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, you could launch a nature-oriented podcast and blog with perceptive, humorous, creative content and amplify your voice in all kinds of arenas beyond bees. Then you could start producing how-to videos or write a book about starting in the biz, ensuring that your knowledge is passed on to the new generation of beekeepers. You'd be sharing important information and growing your personal brand at the same time. And then you could be asked to host a special on Animal Planet or National Geographic a call and say they want to do a feature. As your personal brand grows, you might develop a recipe for a new honey-flavored candy, lip balm, lozenge, or yogurt. You might create a new bug spray or skin regimen, or design bee-branded tote bags and gardening material. Or you might get a direct message on Instagram from fashion model Carly Kloss, who, it turns out, is super into bee culture, and the tagged selfie you take together not only boosts your book sales from 300 to 30,000, but also sparks the next chapter of your career. That shit is really happening. Use today's social media platforms to develop your brand and expand your influence, and you can build a business that can continue to grow even if you've never touched another hive. That's just a hypothetical example, but you'll hear lots of real ones in what comes next. This book is a celebration of all the people who have put Crush It principles to work and have seen massive success in return. I want you to learn from their examples. Some represented here are my friends. Many are just random people who, when given the chance, stepped up to share their stories on how they did it. It was nearly impossible to choose from among the inspiring stories we heard, and I wish I could have featured everyone who reached out to me and my staff. There just wasn't enough room. We heard great stories from entertainers, fitness professionals, fashion bloggers, and of course, marketing consultants. People you might expect to be crushing it on social media. But we also heard from a dentist, a financial planner, a dog trainer, a Lego convention planner, and a quick lube oil change business owner, among scores of others. Many started out young and single, but some already had kids when they decided to double down and crush it. Several gave up lucrative jobs to devote themselves to their passion. What this should tell you is that if you're not crushing it, it's not because you're too old or too poor or have too many other responsibilities. It's because you haven't fully committed to making the leap yet. You're making excuses like, Gary makes it seem so easy, yet it's really almost impossible. It's not, actually. But you can't half-ass this. It will require big risks. It will take all your mental capacity, your time, and your leisure. You're going to eat shit for a long time. But I promise the sacrifices will be worthwhile. I also promise that once you've developed a robust personal brand, you will be able to enjoy as much or as little leisure as you want, because you will be entirely in control of your own life. Don't look for a 9-step program to success here, though. I can't give you one. The principles are universal. The path is all yours. I will give you examples of how to use the platforms, as will the people who shared their stories with us. But they're just examples, not commands. You can do it my way, or you can do it your way. Chart your path in the spirit of crush it, if not by the letter. You just have to make the choice to actually do it. I'm so tired of excuses. Why not try something new? Be optimistic. Exhibit patience. Shut your mouth and execute. The most exciting thing about the business world we live in is that it's still in its infancy. There's so much room to succeed here. Unbelievably, a lot of you still seem to balk at experimenting with new and upcoming platforms. You don't want to waste your time if it turns out to just be another fast-fading trend. But then you wonder why influencers like the ones you're about to meet are succeeding so much better than you are. That disconnect is what gives entrepreneurs like you such an early advantage. Now there is even more opportunity to cash in on your passion than there was back then. Grab your spot, make your mark, and start living in the Crush It universe.
How I'm Crushing It. Amy Schmidauer, Savvy Sexy Social. Instagram, @Schmidtastic. Amy Schmidauer, that's me, became an internet sensation because she got picked last to be a bridesmaid. It was 2007, and though she was the last one chosen, she wanted to be the favorite. So she thought about what she could do to make the bride feel special and came up with the idea to make a video with one of the other bridesmaids. She had fun making it and was sure the bride would be appreciative of the gesture. But it wasn't until she played it at the rehearsal dinner that she realized the power of the medium. The bride wasn't the only one crying over the video. The whole room was moved to tears. I got hooked immediately. I loved the idea of telling a story and being able to have an emotional control over an audience. It engages all the senses at once. The video Amy had made for the wedding was burned onto a DVD. She was thrilled, however, to discover the existence of online platforms onto which she could upload videos and share them. She started filming pieces of her life, taught herself how to edit, and displayed the results on YouTube. The process became her creative outlet. In the meantime, while majoring in political science at The Ohio State University, thinking she might want to go to law school, she managed to get a dream job at a law firm where she eventually got involved in lobbying, fundraising, and public policy. But she also became known as the person who knew how to edit videos and could help you figure out your privacy settings on your Facebook page, which would not have been remarkable in Silicon Valley, but was unusual in Ohio at the time. It was friends living on the West Coast who informed her that social media management was a real job. And she thought, I could get paid to do this? That's when the side hustle started. After getting home from her day job, sometimes as late as 7 p.m., she'd buckle down to the freelance work. The first small businesses she approached were already overwhelmed by all the content they had to create for Facebook and Twitter. And now, here's this person telling them they had to make videos too. They didn't want to hear it. Amy realized that the only way she was going to get small companies to take her seriously was to show them why social mattered. She got her first client, a local sustainable food magazine, by sending an email explaining that although she didn't have any formal social media experience, she was sure she could help them develop their brand. Oh, and she was willing to do it for free. It didn't take a lot of convincing for them to take her on as their social media manager. She had been working the side job along with her full-time job at the law firm for 3 or 4 months when Lewis Howes, also from Ohio, who was by then making a name for himself with LinkedIn, suggested they meet. He didn't find her through the work she was doing for the Sustainable Food magazine. He had noticed the photo and video blogging she was doing on YouTube and other social media sites and wanted to know more about what she was doing. They met over burgers in the spring of 2010, and he gave her 2 pieces of advice if she wanted to start getting paying clients. 1. Go to Las Vegas and attend BlogWorld, the new media conference where the leaders in blogging, podcasting, and video content creation gather to talk about their craft and businesses. Not a problem. The magazine had already helped her purchase a badge. 2. Read Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. That was easy, too. Amy went to the library and picked up a copy. She read it, and that's when she knew she wasn't going to become a lawyer after all. I would have been happy to do this as a side job forever. I didn't know that I could be powerful enough to make this happen. Crush It made me able to envision what my future could look like. I've been thinking that I first needed to become a prestigious company to get other businesses to hire me. And I didn't give enough credit to the fact that I was already being watched, asked for advice, trusted, and considered a mini thought leader because of my personal brand that I developed through videos of my life. It made me realize how important personal branding is to growing a business, and I was already doing it without even knowing it. So maybe I was further ahead than I thought. Maybe I could turn this thing I was doing for fun into something else by simply leveraging what I knew really well, how to use video, how to talk to a camera like it's a person, and then craft the messaging for a very specific type of person. It was the only fire I ever really needed to hit the ground running because I knew what to do at that point. Now she knew that social media management wasn't going to be her sector of the online world. She was going to go after vlog and personal brand consulting. And she was going to ask for what she was worth. Obviously, the definition of devaluing yourself is working for free, but I also think I would have stayed too low in my pricing because of how much it was devalued as an industry in the beginning. Crush It! Allowed me to wrap my mind around the fact that my skill was a major, major asset, both in marketing and customer service for businesses. That's what made me a lot more confident in my pricing and monetizing on my terms. And my confidence, believing that I'm worth more, has helped me get paid much more over my career. I just kept taking the chance because I knew I was doing good work. She started her vlog, Savvy Sexy Social, to end the misery that small businesses were going through. By the time she quit her job in the beginning of 2011, she had gotten some paying clients. But the switch from salaried employee to freelancer was still a huge risk. She moved in with her boyfriend, got rid of her car, and did everything she could to keep her overhead low. She was prepared for it to take months to bring in new clients, but all the work she'd done in the wings, getting people to know and trust her by talking about her work, attending Blog World, following up with her network, and being diligent with building relationships, paid off. She had paying clients within a few weeks. To make sure she stood firm on her prices, for a while she created a separate virtual assistant email and negotiated for herself under a different persona. While continuing to teach on Savvy Sexy Social, which has over 75,000 subscribers and has received over 5 million views, Amy has written a best-selling book, created a series of online courses on vlogging for business, and started a second successful video marketing business. And she still presents keynotes all over the world. She's newly married. Hello, Mrs. Landino. She has a cute dog, and business is thriving. By any measure, she's crushing it. Yet, she's reluctant to congratulate herself. I've had a hard time fully appreciating what I've accomplished at any point. I understand that I am in complete control, and that's an overwhelming feeling because it means you could always be doing more, and it means you might not be doing enough. Amazing things happen, and then there's a day when I wake up and it's a bad day, and it's like, I'm failing. I never got close to quitting, but there were days when I was thinking, are you really cut out for this? I was my own biggest challenge. I didn't take the time to be grateful and give myself the respect that I had come so far. It sounds fluffy, but I had to start sitting down and reflecting on a weekly, daily, monthly basis on what I did well and be happy with that and remember it the next day because it's going to be hard every day. Waking up and knowing the challenges will come, and they do, I still wouldn't change a thing. I know I chose my right path, and I love continuing to follow it no matter what. Amy has a great story, right? I love how she scratched her own itch. I love how she successfully channeled all her energy into creating an incredible brand, and yet despite having accomplished so much, continues to navigate and doesn't let up for one second. She is the embodiment of patience and tenacity, as are all the other people we interviewed for this book. I can't wait for you to meet them.
2. What still matters. Before we explore which platforms you should select to support your pillar of content, I want to remind you that even a well-designed pillar will fall if it isn't set in a solid base. What usually hamstrings entrepreneurs isn't merely the mistakes they make when executing their vision, but the mistakes they make before they even get started. While it can be hard to pinpoint why some influencers build attractive, lucrative personal brands that succeed beyond their wildest expectations, it's not hard to figure out why so many who attempt to do it fail. In general, it's because they're putting their energies into the wrong things. They care, but not enough about what really matters. And what really matters is a pretty short list. Intent, authenticity, passion, patience, speed, work, and attention. Intent. In business, the how matters, of course, but the why matters just as much, maybe more. Why do you want to be an entrepreneur? To share your knowledge? To help people? To build something that leaves a legacy? To make a good income, to give yourself and your family financial security and breathing room? To have fun with a creative outlet? To create a community? All of these are great reasons for building a business and becoming an influencer. Notice what isn't on the list. With entrepreneurship becoming so trendy, a lot of people are calling themselves entrepreneurs who really aren't. They should call themselves wantrepreneurs instead. And I wish they'd do this before they ruin the reputation of real entrepreneurs the same way that unscrupulous brokers ruined how we feel about real estate agents, or the way ambulance chasers and media hounds tarnished our opinion of lawyers. And I wish they would rename themselves before they waste a lot of time and potentially money. I promise you that getting into this game for the gold is the quickest path to long-term failure. When your intent is coming from the wrong place, customers may still do business with you if they have no other option. An increasingly rare situation, by the way. But they won't tell others to. By definition, an influencer engenders positive word of mouth. If you don't care enough to induce others to rave about you, all you're doing is holding a spot for someone who really does care. The one who will waltz in and displace you. This book features entrepreneurs at all levels of financial success and all stages of influence, but those currently at the pinnacle of both share three characteristics: a commitment to service, a desire to provide value, a love of teaching. A number were inspired to create their products after unsuccessfully searching for those products themselves. Sure that if they needed them, others did too. They started teaching when all they found when looking for mentorship or inspiration were overpriced online courses that took up their time but didn't offer anything truly useful. When creating their content, they vowed to take the completely opposite approach by offering solid content and real value. By their own admission, most didn't start out as the most knowledgeable in their fields, and they certainly weren't the most polished. But what they lacked in experience, they made up for in earnestness, honesty, and humor. Every day, their podcasts, photos, videos, and blog posts improved, drawing their audiences back again and again. They gave, 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 and gave some more, often for free. And customers came back again and again. Was it because they liked getting stuff for free? Sure, everyone does. But if a product stinks, even free won't make up for your customer's disappointment. In addition, a stinky product blows away a chance you might have to earning a customer's trust and loyalty. No one comes back for products and advice that doesn't work. Now, I'm the least naive person you've ever met. Some hate me for saying this, but I don't believe that most people give so much away because they're so goddamn selfless. They're human, which means that, like everyone else, they have their own selfish wants and needs. But I also believe that there are humans who fall into the 51%. That is, if your nature is at least 51% altruistic and only 49% selfish, you have a real shot of breaking out, because the vast majority of people are 70 to 99% selfish. Could you use altruism as a tactic? Sure, but altruism is not the kind of thing that you can fake for a very long time. All the people I've known who've tried have been able to grow only so big before they financially and emotionally broke. I'll bet some of the people mentioned in this book started out using altruism as a tactic, and they were good at it because it came naturally. Then they noticed that consumers react pretty strongly when they feel that you give a shit about them, which gave them the incentive to play up that side of themselves rather than fight it. which is what most of us rocked in the cradle of capitalism have always been taught to do. Breaking the money-first rule is also how I got to where I am today. I have never cared about the money. I do, however, care deeply, obsessively.